We have to get to the point, church, where we are crucifying our flesh, sometimes on a daily basis. Sometimes on a daily basis. By crucifying the flesh, you will speak up for the Lord. You will stand up for the Lord. Amen? Because you're crucifying that flesh. You're crucifying that selfishness that is inside of you. And you are putting yourself in the back seat, so to speak. And putting emphasis on the kingdom. Amen? But we all have moments, don't we? Or am I the only one? Am I the only one that has fleshly moments? Yes, and my wife would say, yeah. Yes, you are. You are. You're the only one in our household, at least. We do. We do. Listen, even Jesus did, right? I mean, you remember when he was praying in the garden? Do you remember that? Were you there? No, but we have a testimony of it. He said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Evidently, Jesus had something going on inside of him that was contrary to the will of God, because he had to submit himself to the will of God. And it tormented him so much that he sweated blood. He was under so much pressure that he sweat blood. Now I ask you, have any of you been under so much pressure that you physically sweated blood out of your pores? I know we feel it sometimes. Lord knows I've been there, where the pressure is coming down and you feel like you could sweat blood. But it says that he is our high priest. He experienced all things for us so that he could understand us better, I think. Not my will, but yours be done. The fact that the pull was so strong on him that an angel had to come and intervene and strengthen him. You remember that? The angel came and strengthened him in that moment. The angel of the Lord. Let's read Luke chapter 22. Let's read that in Luke. Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 44. Luke 22. We just kind of jumped right in it today. I hope that's all right. Verses 39 through 44. Let me read this out of the Amplified, Tim. 22, 39. Through 44 says, and he came out and went as was his habit to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not at all enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but always yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him in spirit. And being in agony of mind, he prayed all the more earnestly and intently. You know, that's important right there, because there are times, I know, for me at least, I can only speak for myself, and I assume it happens to you all sometimes, when I am praying and the attacks come and I want it. You just want to give up. You know, you just want to just stop and just go do something else. But here it says he prayed all the more intently. And sometimes we just got to push in and press in and push through. Amen. He said he prayed all the more earnestly and intently, and his sweat became like great clots of blood dropping down upon the ground. Man. And then Matthew adds this detail. Turn over to Matthew real quick. Matthew adds a little detail that is very important to what we are trying to say this morning about this. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, watch and pray. This is King James. That ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. And that's why we need encouragement and strengthening. Jesus needed to be strengthened by an angel. He was under such pressure, he sweated blood. But I believe that our prayer time, these prayer times like Jesus was experiencing and that we go through, I believe they do get us closer to God. And remember Reggie's in his message, I love this, and I don't remember the names of the buildings and the three buildings that he talked about. But he said, as you know, as you were on the top of these, each of these progressively taller buildings, you could see a wider range of the landscape. And he compared that to being closer to God. The closer you get to God, the more prophetic perception you have, the more you can see. And I believe that through our prayer time, that's how one way we can get closer to God, and we can see what is going on. And then he said, are you going to sink or swim? You know, we're in troubling times. What we, you know, not to belittle what this world is experiencing at this point in time. Not to belittle that. But God saw this. And he equipped us with everything that we have need of to be victorious over it. We just read it. We are the light. The light that expels the darkness. And viruses are of the darkness. We can expel that darkness with our light. Amen. The light of the Lord living on the inside of us. And rise above this storm and soar like an eagle. And he shared from Habakkuk 2:14, the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. The church, you and me, say it. I am the church. We are the glory of the Lord in the earth. Amen. Somebody give me that mic right there, please. We are the glory of the Lord in the earth. But are we Are we settling for what is before us? Are we settling in for what we see before us? Are you settling for what you're being told? Or are you going to speak up for the Lord? Do you believe other reports or do you believe the report of the Lord? What are you believing? What are you believing? Are we speaking up for the Lord like John the Baptist did? The voice of the one crying in the wilderness. We are the voice of the Lord in the earth. I see us as John. All you are all little John the Baptist's. Going out and preparing the way because there is a second coming that is coming. I believe soon, I don't know when, but I believe we're closer than we were yesterday. Amen. There is something coming and we are to be preparing the way. We're to be calling those things that be not as though they were. Calling forth for the Lord to return. Amen? That reminds me, I'll put a little plug in here. It's one of my announcements. The Return, Jonathan Kahn, is hosting this big event out on the mall, the Washington Mall. And he is simulcasting that. And Victory Restoration Church on Mud Pike there, Pastor Jamie Hutton, they are going to be simulcasting that or broadcasting that. It's Saturday, September 26th. At 9 a.m., I think it's an all-day event, so they will be broadcasting that, and we are welcome. He's invited us, and so we'll put it out in an email as well. But the return, Teresa sent me just a little clip of Jonathan Kahn just sharing about that, and it's timely. It's timely. That's all I want to say. It's timely, and if you want to look into that. I suggest you attend that simulcast, or you can look into that even before then. But what are we settling for? What are we settling for, people? I mean, we are the chosen generation. And I love that they played that song last week. I remember that song. I'm telling you, I got born again in this church back in 1995. And I remember that song. I still have the cassette of the restoration. And I believe that song was on that cassette, if I'm not mistaken. We are the generation that demons are in dread about. They ought to be fearing us. We ought not be fearing what is going on, the darkness that is surrounding this world. They ought to be in fear of us because we are standing up and speaking for the Lord. Prepare, pursue, and possess. Did I get that right? I'm telling you, what we do every week and what you should be doing every day in your home is preparing, preparing, preparing. And then pursuing the things of God. And then possessing the land. We need to break the spirit of fear off of us. And I say us, I mean the church. It has no place in the body of Christ. No place. So, Reggie, thank you for bringing that timely word and encouraging us. Every time he ministers, it just stirs me up. Stirs me up. I thank God for that. And that's what we're to do, right? We're to stir one another up. I share that out of Peter all the time. You know, I'm here to stir you up. I hope I can stir you up today. Stir you up to make a difference. Stir you up to the things of God. Stir you up to live life and that abundant life that Jesus died to give us. Stir you up. Not to be complacent. Not to just accept what comes your way. We can weather what comes our way, but we don't have to accept it. We can walk through it. We can speak to it. Amen? Oh, am I making any sense this morning? Praise God. So we've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let's roll this into how that plays out with us as born-again believers, possessors, housing the Holy Spirit within us. And we talked about what is the evidence, right? What is the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in your life? And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit and how you can use that as a litmus test, I believe, in your life. If you see these fruit, that love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If you see that fruit evident in your life on a regular basis, that's a good litmus test to know that the Holy Spirit is at work in you. And I believe it's a good test to see how close you are to God. And if the more that you see that fruit in operation in your life, the closer you are to God, the better you're going to see the things happening around you. Amen? So what is the fruit? And then we talked about the fruit of darkness a little bit, right? We said that those were the works that Jesus manifested in the earth to destroy. And that's really what we are to do. Continue the work of Jesus in the earth to destroy those works of darkness. He sent His Holy Spirit. Gave His Holy Spirit to us. Giving us the power to overcome. Amen? And we need to continue what He began, destroying the enemy's work. How? The same way Jesus did it. This is just review of the 2 weeks ago. If you didn't get that, go back 2 weeks and listen to that about the fruit of the Spirit. But the same way He did, through the gifts of the Spirit. Remember I said I wanted to lay the foundation with the fruit? Because I believe it's just my contention that if you don't have fruit evident in your life, it's going to be difficult to operate in the gifts of the Spirit on a regular basis if you don't have the fruit evidenced in your life on a regular basis. So the first thing we have to understand that in order for the gifts to flow, we must have that relationship with the gift giver. And this relationship is evidenced by that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. I'd go as far as to say, no fruit, no relationship. No fruit, no relationship.
Little fruit, little relationship. A lot of fruit, a lot of relationship. Amen? I'm trying to flip with one hand here. Y'all testing my motor skills out. The more fruit you bear, the closer you are to God. The better view you have, the better prophetic perception you have, and the less fleshly you become. Or we can say it this way, the more you crucify the flesh, the more you lissify. Amen? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, because it is the Word. And Jesus manifested as the Word. And just as I read in John chapter 1, He is the Word, was the Word. He was in the beginning. And the Bible also says that He sent His Word and healed them. Man, if you need healing in your body today, just let the Word be absorbed into you and heal you right where you are. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. Well, in order, and we're talking about the gifts, in order to flow or to see the gifts, we need to realize, it says it right there, realize, comprehend, and appreciate them. We can't just know that they exist. You know, I mean, there are people in the world, believe it or not, that know the name of Jesus. They've heard of Jesus. They heard people say He's the Son of God, He's the Messiah, He's the Christ. But they don't believe that. They know it mentally and with their intelligence. But they don't believe it in their heart. This is saying we have to realize, comprehend, and appreciate the gifts, knowing that it is God who has bestowed them or given them to us. That word bestowed means this. It means to confer upon or present to someone an honor, a right, or a gift. He has bestowed these gifts that we're going to be talking about. He has bestowed them on us. He has presented them to us. He's conferred them upon us. And it is an honor. It is our right as children of God to receive these gifts. It is our right as children of God, born again believers, washed in the blood of Jesus, to receive these gifts. You have to believe that. You have to understand that. You have to comprehend it. You have to realize it and appreciate it. But I believe that the honor comes when we use the gifts. You know, you think about, let's just take tithing for instance. I mean, I believe it brings us one way, we bring honor to God, right? We're just giving back to God with our tithes and offerings. Well, that requires an action on our part, a giving back. Same with our praise and worship. We just witnessed it this morning. You know, he invented that. It's not something man came up with. Oh, yes, I'm going to open my mouth and sing beautiful harmonies and put rhythm to it and have wonderful notes and it's going to just sound beautiful. No, he created it. And we're just giving it back to him in that form. Amen? So honor comes when we use these gifts. Same with confession of His Word. I mean, we have His Word. It's here. Right here. But if we don't dig into it, read it for ourselves, And I believe confess it back to him at times. I mean, if you are if you have a symptom in your body, do you say, "Oh, woe is me. It really hurts. The pain is unbearable. I don't think I can stand it." Or do you say and speak the word back and say, "By his stripes I am healed. He sent his word into the earth and healed them. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, the man who bore my sins upon his body. My sorrows, my griefs, my pains." What are we doing? These things require action, and I believe the gifts are no different. In all these instances, we're just giving back to God what he created. We read it, right? John 1, there's nothing that exists that wasn't created through him, by him, in him. These gifts are no different. We're giving the gifts back to God through using them to bring people into the kingdom. We're not even going to get to the gifts today. This is just an introduction. We laid the foundation. We're giving an introduction to them, and I really want to go into each of the 9 gifts, and we'll talk about that individually. But I want us to get an understanding of why he gave us these gifts. What are they for? Is it so man can prop himself up and look good before people? No. It's to bring people into the kingdom of God. So we can be witnesses to the world with power. With power. Remember he said to them, "Go and wait, tarry, till the Holy Spirit has come. You will receive power." But I believe the church, that's us, that's me and you, I believe the church has lost this power over the centuries. Let me just throw this out there. And y'all can email me or come in person and scoff at me later. Or tell me I'm wrong. Think about the Roman Catholic Church. How do you think the Roman Catholic Church got to its place of power and eminence and influence that it has had? Did somebody say fear? Why, though? Why? How were they able even to get to that? Because the early church possessed the power and walked in the power of these gifts, and people saw that. And remember, I always confuse the two names with the couple that had the church in their house and then the ones that actually died at the feet of the disciples. Not Aquila and Priscilla. Was it Aquila and Priscilla or was it? It was what? Sapphira and Ananias. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. It's bad to confuse those two. They're totally different. But remember what happened? I mean, they lied and they fell dead. And this fear really went out. And I believe the early church, and I don't know the history of it all. I'm just postulating that the Roman Catholic Church rose to power through this fear. But in order to have legitimate, they had to have legitimate power in the beginning. And I believe that they perverted that power, and they started causing fear in the body, and then they started requiring payment for repentance, and then so people just paid and paid out of fear. Then they fell in love with the money and out of love with the Savior. Anyways, I'll probably get some lovely questions about that. But what are we doing with these gifts? What are we doing with them? Let me turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and share out of verse 12. Well, 2 Corinthians doesn't have a chapter 14, so if you're in 1 Corinthians, it does. 14, verse 12 says, "So it is with yourselves, since you are so eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments," or gifts, we could say, "and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, concentrate on striving to excel and to abound in them in ways that will build up the church." Listen, he says to seek after the higher gifts, right? We are to strive after these gifts. There's nothing wrong. There's no condemnation in striving after the gifts, but we got to be doing it for the right reasons. And I think it's very clear right here in verse 12. It says we're to do it to build up the church. You and me, these gifts are to build us up. And I believe they're to be a witness to the lost as well. And I believe they're to be used outside of these four walls. I think church tradition has contained these gifts within the four walls. And I don't believe that's the way it's supposed to be. I believe that we're supposed to use these gifts outside of the walls to be a witness to the lost. And we've said it time and time again how powerful it would be to walk up to someone to discern what's going on in their life, to pray for them, pray for healing or deliverance or whatever it may be, and to see that, and then they witness that happen. How powerful that would be. Building up the church. Building up the church. And as we move forward, I don't want to just look at the gifts in and of themselves. But how, and I don't like to use this word, but use, how can we use them today to build up the church? How many like practical knowledge and understanding? And, you know, we can talk about the things of God all day long on a spiritual level, but I like sometimes you have to bring them down to a practical level and how they operate in our everyday lives so that we can build the kingdom. I mean, we can sit in here all day long and wish that the kingdom be built. You know, we can. There's nothing wrong with praying that way. There's nothing, but at some point, it requires some action on our behalf. As the church, at some point we got to get out and do. We can't just be hearers of the word. We got to be doers of the word. And like I said in the very beginning, he has equipped us with everything that we have need of to accomplish that. Everything that we have need of is right at our fingertips. It's right in our heart. It actually lives on the inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that these gifts, the gifts of the Spirit that we're talking about, that we're going to, Lord willing, study out a little bit, I believe that it is going to be crucial. I believe that it is going to be monumental. I believe that it is going to be pivotal. I believe that the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in these last days is going to usher in the last great harvest that we see. I believe that. I have believed that for years. And in light of things happening, I believe it all the more. I believe it all the more. You know, the history of the church and the things that we've seen throughout the history of the church, and I mean, you can look at Azusa Street and Brownsville and all these revivals and faith movement, all these things just are adding up to this final big event that is happening, and I believe unfolding before our very eyes. I'm not a date setter. I'm not a doom and gloom person. I'm not a, but I can look. Just like he told the Pharisees, you know, you can look at the sky and you can tell me when it's, and I'm paraphrasing, you can tell me when it's going to rain, but you can't discern the times. You look at the signs of the times and you discern what is going on. And then you apply that on a prophetic timeline and you can see. You can see. Why? First, you got to have that relationship with God. And when you have that close relationship with God, the higher you rise up to God, the better you can see. And you can see the things unfolding before you. I'm telling you, they are unfolding before our eyes. And like I said, I'm not a date setter. I'm not a doom and gloom. But this is all a precursor to what is coming. It is. And you must see that. You must understand it. And why? Not to create fear. No, it's to create an urgency to do what we're called to do. To reach the lost. To disciple those that come to the Lord. To preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It should create that earth. That's why I love studying prophecy. And again, I don't pretend to be really even a student, a serious student of prophecy or a communicator of it. But I love it. Why? Because within myself, it creates an urgency within me to do the things that I'm called to do. And I'm called to reach crowds that you are not, and you're called to reach crowds that I am not. And, you know, we've talked about our sphere of influence. You know, what sphere of influence are you in? You know, do you work in a work environment where you can influence coworkers? Do you go to school somewhere where you can influence students? Do you, wherever, you know, what is your sphere of influence? Do you live in a neighborhood where you have community with neighbors and you're influencing neighbors? But that is why we are here. And I believe, again, these gifts that God has given to us. We just read it. He gave them to us for a purpose, for a reason. And it's not to prop man up. But it's to promote his kingdom. And so we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at these gifts. And I believe by the Holy Spirit, as we teach and look at these gifts, teach on these gifts, I believe that something's going to start to rise up on the inside of each one of you. And you're going to identify these gifts in your life. It may be one, it may be multiple. It may be all nine. I don't know. We have access to all the gifts because he gave us one gift in the person of the Holy Spirit. So I believe as we go throughout these next weeks and maybe months, I don't know, and talk about these gifts, I believe that you're going to, we say it all the time, did you come expecting? I believe you have to come with an expectation. Okay, I've put it out there. I've made you accountable for it. Now, if you will come with an expectation that this will that it'll rise up on the inside of you and it'll identify some of these gifts that you operate in your life. And then we talk about practical things and how to apply them in our everyday life to see the building of the kingdom, the building up of the church, bringing the lost in, preaching the good news. I believe that that will be identified in you and that fire will start to burn and we'll just fan the flames. We'll fan the flames and we'll see them embers start to rise up to a flame. And we'll see that flame going out into our community and transforming our community. Amen. Causing us to lissify. L-I-S-U-F-Y. Lord, I speak up for you. I stand up for you. I believe it's time, church. I believe that we have fallen into a place of complacency as the church universally. And again, there are pockets, I'm sure, all over this world that experience something different. But I believe that the church has to rise up in these last days and fulfill the great commandment to go. To go and operate in the ministry of reconciliation. And hopefully we'll talk about how these gifts play a part in that coming up. The Lord willing. Amen? Well, Father, I just thank you for this time. I do. I believe that the word has gone forth. And like I said, this obviously was not a healing meeting in any way, but the word has gone forth. So I believe that the word can touch people right where they are, even over the airwaves in digital land. I believe it can touch people right where they are. They can receive healing in their body, physical healing, healing in their mind, mental healing, healing in their spirit if they need to be reconciled with God. So, Father, I thank you for the power of your word. The power of your word. And I thank you that we've heard your word today. And we're encouraged. We're stirred up. I want to stir you up. I pray that we're stirred up, that we're encouraged today, this day, as we call it today, so that we can go forth into tomorrow with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.